Good morning and welcome to Bible Storyland. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Today is July 30th, 2011, and it is the Lord's Day, and we are rejoicing and rejoicing and rejoicing and rejoicing. We're truly grateful to Father God for giving us this day to live for Him, to give Him glory, to give Him thanks, to give Him praise. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. We thank God for redeeming us out of the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for He hath redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. Christ Jesus paid full price for each one of us. He gave all He had for us. He gave His very life so we could have abundant life. Today is Joyful Praise Day on Bible Storyland, and we welcome each of you. We're so grateful that you took time to join us this morning, and we just honor and bless you this morning. And this morning, we're just grateful, you know, that the Lord gave us His mighty word. You know, He's an awesome God, and He made provisions for us to know about Him. He gave us His great word. So this morning I'm going to read into your hearing Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. We will go into the house with burnt offerings. We will pay Thee our vows, which our lips have uttered and our mouth has spoken when we were in trouble. We will offer unto Thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. We will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and we will declare what He had done for our soul. We cried unto Him with our mouth, and He was exalted with our tongues. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. But verily God hath heard us. He hath attended to the voice of our prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned us away, which has not turned away our prayer, nor His mercy from us. Hallelujah. We thank God for His mighty word, and we thank Him that this is a day to rejoice and give Him thanks. God is merciful to us, and He blesses us and causes His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon the earth, as saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Oh, let the nations be glad. Not just America, but the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously, and Thou shalt govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. He is the Most High God. So this morning, we're just thankful for the great and mighty God waking us up this morning. You know he's a mighty God. He can wake up every person in every nation. Now, what a mighty God is that? We don't have enough cell phones in the world or enough telephones to call everybody in the world and wake them up. So I just thank God that he's great. This morning, we are welcoming back a great woman of God that has been on vacation, went to praise the Lord on a vacation. She lives in Houston, Texas. Her name is Karen Itell. Good morning and welcome back, Karen.
I am back, and I'm going to do a song called El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, hallelujah. For that beautiful song. Let us continually praise God this morning. Give him praise wherever you are. If you're sitting in your comfortable chair or wherever you are, give him praise this morning because he deserves all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to our God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. The Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. God is going up with the shout. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. I thank God for Karen. You know, she is so gifted. That music was just so beautiful. El Shaddai. I thank God for it. Now, as I pray aloud this morning, I'm asking you to pray silently in your place of abode where you are this morning. So just let's just reach out and touch the Father in prayer this morning. Father God, we're just so honored that you join us every Saturday that we're on, oh God. And Father God, we just thank you for your mighty presence, oh God. We just cannot move without your presence. We thank you that you are so great and so greatly to be praised. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, because you are good, you are great, and greatly to be praised. We honor you this morning. We come to give you glory due to your holy name. And, Father, we thank you for creating Bible Storyland, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that you are an awesome and a mighty king, oh God. Father, we just come asking you to forgive us for any way we've sinned against you. You are the Most High God. Oh, Father God, any way we've sinned against your people, forgive us, Father God. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, oh God. Even remove the little foxes that spoil our vine, oh God. Father, I lift up each and every person that's on Bible Storyland, even those that will come later. And I thank you for them and their families, oh God, and even the family members they represent, oh God. Bless them, oh God. Heal families. Heal them of all things they may be going through, Father God, their cares of life. We cast them upon you, oh God. And, Father, be with the children, oh God. We ask you to bless the children of the people who come on Bible Storyland and the children of the world, oh God. I thank you for keeping a hedge of protection around them, Father God. I thank you for drawing the children, oh God. Your word says, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto you, for of such is your kingdom. And, Father, I thank you that your son Jesus blessed the children, oh Father God. So we bless the children this morning as Jesus did, oh Father God. May they continually honor you. May they continually obey you. May they continually obey their parents and those who have rule and authority over them. And we decree and declare that they will have long lives because they're in submission to you, oh God. And Father God, we just say thank you this morning for everything you are about to do. Have your way, everything you've done, have your way on Bible Storyland. So we're just grateful that you are the Most High God and that we can call upon you morning, noon, and night. Father God, we don't have to have a phone to call upon your name. We can just say, Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, we call upon your name. We are grateful, Father God. So we just say thank you, thank you, thank you this morning, oh God. We bless your holy name. You know, Jacksonville is a mighty city. It is the largest city in the United States. And Jacksonville is filled with many people that God has created. You know, God owns Jacksonville. Sometimes we act like we own ourselves, but in actuality, he owns us because his word said he owned the earth and the fullness thereof. So Jacksonville, as well as all over the United States, God hasn't been stingy. He has abundantly given us gifts and talents. And this young woman that God created in his image has been given the gift of song and praise. And she lives in Jacksonville. Her name is Jackie Travis. Good morning, Jackie. Hello, Jackie? All right, maybe she has her phone on mute. I'm not sure, but I believe that she's on this morning. But if not, she'll be on a little bit later, and she will be singing praise with us unto the Lord. So we're just so grateful, Father God, for all that you're doing. Well, as I said before, God continues to be gracious, and he gives his people he gave his people the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the knowledge and unity of faith and the knowledge of his son unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they wait in to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which he is the head, even Christ. So Christ set in the church to work. I just read to you that he gave some apostles and he gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So in a few minutes after this great woman of God sing, we have a great man of God from Kalamazoo, Michigan, He is a chosen one. He's one of God's very elect. He's going to bring the word. His name is Pastor Michael Houston. But just before he comes, I want to tell you, again, today is Joyful Praise Day. And, you know, God enjoys the praises of his people. And, you know, he created families to pray together, sing together, and be together to love one another and to grow up together. And this woman of God is the spiritual mother, also the mother-in-law of Pastor Michael Houston. And her name is Sister Martha Gandhi. She's also the mother of the wife of Pastor Houston, Sandra Houston. So this morning we greet you in love. Sister Gandhi, how are you doing this morning?
Well, the Lord is good. Just pray for me. I'm honored for you to even ask me, since I'm not really a songstress, but I'm willing to do whatever I can for the sake of the program and of the Lord's work.
Amen, amen. So let God have his way in you.
Okay. I'll attempt to sing, "We Are a Heavenly Father's Children." I'm sorry, I do have kind of a cold.
That's okay.
We are our heavenly Father's children, and we all know that he loves us one and all. Yet there are times that we'll find he'll answer another's voice and call. We have the joy of his assurance. Our heavenly Father will always answer prayer, for he knows. I'm so glad God knows. He knows just how much we can bear. Think of the time you've asked the question down in your heart, "Dear Lord, what shall I do?" Then you confide in your friends and loved ones, but they have troubles too. But there is a God who rules earth and heaven. In him there's relief from every pain and care. And he knows, oh yes he does, yes God knows, he knows just how much we can bear. Though the load sometimes it gets heavy, but we're never, never left alone to bear it all. Just ask for strength and keep right on toiling. Although the teardrops fall, oh yes they will, but we have the joy of this assurance that for each of us, that for each of us he cares. And he knows, I'm telling you, saints, oh, yes, God knows. He knows just. Hallelujah. How much we can bear. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Gonda, for that beautiful song. I really appreciate it. Oh, that's a new one for me, but I know it's not new to Father. And he heard that song. He loves the joyful songs of his people.
Yes.
So I thank God for you. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, Brother Houston, just before you come, Jackie, I apologize to you. I'm sorry, I thought I had you on live. Are you there, Jackie?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I'm sorry, that was my fault. I thought I had you on, but I didn't. You want to go ahead and sing that song that the Lord has given you this morning, and then Pastor Houston is going to bring the word.
All right. I got my lady here with me again, Miss Raddick.
She's all right.
But that's all right. She's going to help me. Walk with me, Lord. Please walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Please walk with me. Well, while I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Hold my hand, Lord. Please hold my hand. Hold my hand, Lord. Please hold my hand, Lord. And while to hold my hand, be my friend, Lord. Please be my friend. Be my friend, Lord. Please be my friend, Lord. And while I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus to be my friend. You talk with my mother, Lord, talk with me. Talk with my mother, please talk with me, Lord. And while I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus to talk with me. Talk with me, Lord. Please, Jesus, talk with me. Talk with me, Lord. Please talk with me, Lord. And while I'm on this Jesus journey, and I want Jesus to talk with me.
Ooh, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, we all want Jesus to talk with us, and I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want Jesus to walk with me and talk with me, and I know all of us do, because when Jesus walks with us, great things happen, and he's everything that we need, our protector, our provider, everything. So I thank you, Jackie. I thank you, Martha,
thank you
for those wonderful songs of praise. And now we're going to have Pastor Houston. How you doing, Pastor Houston?
Hey, praise the Lord. I'm doing great today. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen, amen.
I'd like to thank our host for the privilege to speak to you today. And I thank God for his goodness and for all of his many blessings. Today I want to talk about God provides refuge.
Amen.
Refuge is a shelter of protection from danger or trouble, safety and security. It's the right when we are in the midst of adversity, God will see you through. Psalms 46, where David says, the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We live in uncertain times. There are hard economic times. Even the talk of that debt ceiling, hopefully it will be raised, but if not, it will cause even greater economic distresses amongst the people. Troubled situations, circumstances, people losing their homes, people losing their jobs. It seems to be like turmoil on every hand. When our stresses are more than our strength, God will be our solid refuge and strength. You know, a few years ago, I was downsized out of a job. I had a small severance. Times were hard, but God provided. I continued to pay my bills and put food on my table. I don't know how God did it, but he did. I went on numerous jobs interviews, but to no avail. I wanted a job that God wanted me to have. My severance had run out, and God blessed me with my current job, actually better than the one I had previously, right on time. You know, sometimes God keeps us in a place to try to teach us, to try to work some things out of us and work some of his goodness into us. So God is always on time. He may not come when we are seeking him, but he will be there. God took care of me and my family. He lightened our load. When we are afraid of all that is happening around us, we can trust God to be our refuge. God does not need a warning signal to know when to act to help us. God is always ready to help us when we need him. David had his ups and downs, but he was a man after God's own heart. So God took care of him. We have to be doing the will of God if we want God to help us in trouble. Many times we will put our trust in others with all good intentions or in things only to find that we are let down. If we are looking for a refuge that will not fail us, we must turn to God only. We must be careful not to seek the Lord only when we are faced with trouble. We need to seek him in good times also. We need to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, and then we will be ready for any adverse situation. We have to work on building a solid relationship with the Lord. Get to know him. Follow his ways. And we will have the assurance and confidence we need when we face our adversities. When we have God as a source of strength, we have no reason to fear anything, for he will not let us down. It is impossible for God to fail. In Psalms 18:10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." There is an endless supply of all that we need from God all the time, and it never runs out. In this life, we are confronted with many, many things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 8 and 9, it reads, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." When God is there, there is safety. We that have the Holy Spirit have safety with us. So why should we fear? When we exercise fear, we are not exercising faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Although things seem grim around us, sometimes we in our adversities, we can't see a way out. But the Lord is mindful of us. And if we put our trust, faith, and confidence in him, he will surely bring us out. So when the day seems dark and come against us, look to God. We must not trust in our own ability, but in the power of God. if God be for us, he is more than the whole world against us. When storms rage, a safe haven is needed. God provides it to all who trust in him. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We just need to keep our sights on God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, the battle here is not ours, it's the Lord's. The Lord is willing to take the battle. He says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for us. The Lord is willing to take on our battles. We just have to release it to him and go on and let our light shine so that men may see our good works. He promised never to leave nor forsake us, so he's right there. He's right here with us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. The Lord loves us more than we love ourselves. The Lord is willing that we come out of our situation more than we are desirous to come out ourselves. The Lord is there for us, and he cares for our souls. In conclusion, if any of you are going through something, and we all are, we may not be going through the same things, but some may be experiencing trouble with your children or marriage or financial, social, emotional, mental, physical problems. Put it in the hands of the Lord, and the Lord will see you through. You know, God is great. And he can give you the peace that passes all understanding and bring you out victorious. May God bless you, and thank you. Goodbye.
Amen. Ooh, what a word, what a word. I appreciate that, Pastor Houston. God provides a refuge. And, you know, he really brought forth a mighty word, because in this day and time, we all need a refuge. When we call on the name of the Lord, he is our refuge. And, you know, you can have an umbrella, and you could stand under that umbrella with your whole family, father, mother, children, and, you know, maybe just enough room for you and your family. But if you don't belong to that family, you're not going to have enough room to get under that umbrella. So you got to be a part of the body of Christ. And his refuge is like an umbrella that protects us from all kinds of weather, all kinds of storms of life. You know, like Brother Houston said, you know, when he had lost his job, God provided, and he continually provides for us. We are his children, and I thank God that he provides mightily for us, and he is our refuge. He gave several scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, 8 through 9, Psalms 46, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, Psalms 91. So in your spare time, you know, flip the TV off. Get in the Word. That's the thing we need to look at. Focus your mind on godly things, because God is waiting to hear from you. Waiting, you know. I hear a lot of people say, I don't know the voice of God. I ain't hear him. That's because you ain't been in the secret place enough. In order to hear his voice, you got to call on his name, and then you got to shut your mouth sometime and listen. You know, you may be driving down the street, and I hear some people say, something said, turn right. No, it wasn't something. It was God. He said, my sheep know his voice. So we got to know God's voice in this time and hour. The way to know it, spend time with him. He knows your voice, so why you don't know his? He said, my sheep know my voice. So stay in his holy presence. Say, Lord, I ain't going to let you go. I ain't going to let you go till I hear your voice. And just lay there and just sit there and just wait on him. He'll teach you his voice. You'll hear his voice, and then you won't get mixed up. You won't say, oh, is that my voice or his voice? You're going to know when you spend enough time. So I thank God this is Joyful Praise Day. I thank Father God for the word that went forth by Pastor Michael Houston. Our next guest is a mighty woman of God. She, too, is from Jacksonville. Now, you know, great things come out of people in from Jacksonville, from Houston, from Kalamazoo, from every city in the nation. Because God has a mighty people in America and in every continent in the world. So this great woman of God is known as the mighty Mildred. She's my favorite aunt. Oh, you know God has gifted this woman. She's over 100, over 101. Can you imagine? I can imagine when she was a little girl, she never dreamed she'd be 101. And neither did we. But we thank God that he has gifted her with abundant life, super abundant life. She's going to sing for us this morning. Good morning, Aunt Mildred.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes. How you doing?
Excuse me. God is good. You've brought
me
up in the years. I'm so grateful. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds on grip that solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. That rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your rock is whole and grip that solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Oh, he's the one. That rock is Jesus. The only one. Be very sure. You just be very sure. Your anchor holds on grip that solid rock.
Amen, amen. In times like these, we need a Savior. You know we need a Savior. We need a Savior when we're driving down the street to save us from accidents. When we're flying in the air to save us from air traffic accidents. We need a Savior when our bodies, you know, wrenched in pain. We need a Savior when we need provisions. We need our God. So I thank you, Aunt Mildred. I tell you what, he not only gifted her with 101 plus years, but he has gifted her with the voice of song and praise. So I thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, Aunt Mildred. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
All right. There's another woman of God from Houston. I'll tell you, there's much talent in the United States. From Houston, Texas, Karen Itell is going to play another song of praise for us this morning. What's the name of the song, Karen?
Friends Are Friends Forever.
Friends Are Friends Forever. Okay. Amen, amen. That was awesome, awesome, as usual. It's not surprising to me that that was an awesome song. I mean, this woman's fingers move, move. I thank God for that song. You know, Jesus is our friend forever. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And he is an eternal friend. During our hour of need, he's right here with us. You know, friends, human friends, they leave us either, you know, different ways. They leave us. They ain't always with us. I'm temporary friends. But I thank God that Jesus is our friend forever. He'll go with us even to the ends of the earth. He'll go with us. You know, when the Lord calls us home, Jesus is going to be right there with us. So he is our friend. So don't forget, call upon his holy, mighty name. Our Bible character today was known as the supplanter. Yeah, he was known as a supplanter. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about his character. He was naturally crafty. He was deceptive. He reaped the result of his own sin. He became religious later in life. When he became affectionate with someone or loved, met someone he loved, some of those sins came back on him. He was industrious. You know, he was a hard worker. Prayerful. He prayed much to God when he found God. Because, see, God don't have to find us. He already know where we are, but we need to find him. So he was disciplined by affliction, this man of God, and he became a man of faith, and his name is Jacob. So let's look at each part of Jacob's character, naturally crafty. Now, crafty means skillful, clever, adept in the use of subtlety and cunning, marked by subtlety and guile. Let's look carefully at the word crafty. It's the ability to use one's knowledge well, mastering a skill, having expertise in a skill. You know, some people can sew, and they sew so well. You look at it and you think that it was made by some great manufacturer. They're expert in that area. Some people can cook, and you would think that they went to, you know, to France in order to study, you know, how to become the world's greatest chef. They have expert. They're expert in cooking. The next word we want to look at is clever. Jacob was clever. And that's one who has attained skill, mental quickness. He's intelligent. Now, he was also adept. He was one who obtained knowledge of how to change. One who obtained knowledge. He was highly skilled and well-trained. He was an expert. Now, he was subtly. He was discerning, which means discerning and highly skilled. You know, he could, you know, look at some people and tell some things about them. That's how he did his brother. But it was a deceitful thing that he did to his brother. I'm going to read to you from the King James Version of Genesis 25, 31 through 33 about Jacob. And Jacob said, "Sell me this, thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, you know, we have to be careful what we do when you know, just like quickly, abruptly. We got to stop and think and use wisdom. Now, this scripture shows how Jacob dealt in craftiness with his brother. He had an ulterior motive. You know, sometimes people have motives behind what they do. Like Judas, when he kissed Jesus, his motive, you know, was to say, "This is the one." We have to be careful about our motives. Why are we doing something? He knew his brother's weakness, so he took advantage of Esau, his brother, at his weak point. When Christ was weak from fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the enemy, Satan, came to him. And he said, he came to Jesus not just one time, but three times to tempt Jesus. But Jesus resisted all three times, and he beat Satan down with the word of God. And, you know, we got to know the word of God, because we got to beat Satan down, because he's going to come to us. Each time Jesus said in Matthew 4, it is written, he defeated Satan. Even though Christ was physically weak, he was spiritually strong. He had been in the presence of the Almighty God 40 days while he yielded to his Father in fasting and prayer. Christ was tempted first with the physical temptation, food. He held fast to the spiritual food, the word of God. The second time Satan went to Jesus Christ, he tried to tempt him using the word of God. But he, Satan, was to speak the word Jesus. God honors his word above his name. Satan could not deceive Jesus because Jesus was the word. By using the word, Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The third time the devil took Jesus to a very high place, up to a mountain, and he said, he showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He didn't have to do that because Jesus knew all that already. Jesus knew the devil, and so he didn't have anything on Jesus. And he said to Jesus, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil left him. And the angels came and ministered to Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Jacob was being used by Satan to deceive. He was a deceiver. Satan was a deceiver. And Jacob was being used by the deceiver to deceive his brother Esau. Whereas Jesus was victorious, Esau was not. He yielded to the lust of the flesh. A pot of food, and for his birthright. The Bible says in Matthew 16:26, for what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Guard your soul from cunning craftiness of the enemy. Study the word of God. So when the enemy comes subtly to cheat you out of your will, to cheat you out of your soul, you will be so full of the word of God that you will say, it is written. God honors his word above his name. Study to know Christ and his teachings to avoid the temptations of the flesh. Jacob was wrapped up in cunning ways of the flesh, so much so that he could deceive his own brother. Esau was so caught up in the things of the flesh that he received the deception from his brother, which affected their lives, even their seed, children that was born to them. The consequences that followed this deception was not a light affliction. Now, the other part was deception, which means to deceive, to trick. These are some of the characteristics of Jacob before he became a child of God. Deception. Now, this means to deceive or to trick, double dealing, to mislead. Jacob misled Esau from his own pleasure. Deception carries a boomerang. It goes right back to the one who is deceiving another person, but it usually comes back with a greater force to the sender. Jacob reaped the results of his own sin. Genesis 27:42-43, which says, and these words of Esau, his...
That's Sunday.
Hello? I'm sorry, Karen, did you say something?
I like to sing. I did this last week for church service.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's confirmation. And these words of Esau, his elder brother, his eldest son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent, I'm sorry, I'm checking to make sure I'm reading the right scriptures. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and she said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise and flee unto Laban, my brother, to Haran. So because of what Jacob did to his brother, when his brother recognized the deceit, he tried to kill him. He got so angry, he wanted to kill his own brother because of the deceit. You know, sometimes we have to be discerning. We have to discern good and evil. We can't just say, oh, I'm so hungry, just let me eat all this food right here, and then you stuff and stuff and stuff, and then you become sick and angry and throw it up. So his brother got angry and wanted to kill him. After all was said and done, Jacob, his wrongs, Jacob, you know, repented, and he turned to God, his creator. Now, he became religious later. I'm going to read to you Psalms 28, starting at verse 10. And it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set on the earth. The top, it reached to the heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascended and descending on it. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in the all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and set up a pillow, and poured oil upon it, the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillow shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Now, he made a vow unto God, and he, you know, became religious at that point. He gave his life to God. He gave up who he was, and he decided to follow God. You know, he gave up cunning and craftiness and guile and wickedness. He gave all that up. And at some point in our lives, we have to give it all up, just like Jacob did. Now, you know, Jacob fell in love. Genesis 29:18 talks about, you know, how he fell in love. And I'm going to read that to you, 29:18. And it says, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Now, you know, she was beautiful. Rachel was so beautiful, and she was favored. So Jacob, he liked the finer things of life, even things that didn't belong to him, his brother's inheritance. He paid dearly for the deceptive nature he had, but the consequences caught up with him. In an unexpected way, he fell in love. Like they say, it was love at first sight. She was beautiful and well-favored. Her name was Rachel, because he had sure great love for her. He was willing to give his time and his talents for Rachel to be his wife. Now, you can read the story in Genesis 29 to see how he was deceived, just like he deceived his brother. You know, like I told you, these things that we do is like a boomerang, and when it hits us, it's come back harder, especially, you know, this deceitful ways. Now, he was industrious. Jacob was very industrious. Genesis 31 and verse 40, he was an industrious person. And it says, and Jacob did separate the lambs. I'm sorry, verse 40. Psalms 31, verse 40. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus I have been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Now see that deception that he was doing with his brother? It was boomeranging back on him, so make sure we're not deceitful people. But, you know, old people used to say, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. So don't be deceitful like him, because it boomeranged right back at him. Now, he was industrious. He worked overtime and double time and a half on the job. So do you know, just because we're industrious, we work overtime and work double time and a half on our job or in the church, if you are cunning and crafty and deceitful in nature, your sins will catch up with you. You have to pay the consequences. Now, not only you, me too. Now, we may have felt okay being cunning and crafty and deceitful, but guess what? We won't feel okay, good, when we have to suffer the consequences of our sins that we committed long time ago. Those sins you may have even forgotten about, the sins God forgives us of. He forgives us of our sins. Even people forgive us. But when we sin, we set consequences against ourselves. When we wrong ourselves or others, or even when we wrong God, we set consequences against ourselves. So we want to be careful, you know, about what we're doing. Be conscious. Be discerning. Don't let the enemy deceive us. Prayerfulness. I'm going to read Genesis 32, and it says, and Jacob said, O God, my father, Abraham. Now, you know, before he was cunning and crafty. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't even praying to him. He didn't call upon his name. But now he's saying, O God, my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I have passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with his children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that night and took of that which came to his hand and present a present for Esau, his brother. So, you know, he made up with his brother. But we have to be careful, the seeds that we sow. There's a time to be born, a time to die, and now was the time to petition God in prayer. And so that's what Jacob did. That was the time for him. And he petitioned God. Jacob feared for his life that his brother Esau was trying to, you know, kill him. When the enemy is after us, it's past time for us to pray. We must call on God without ceasing. Like Brother Mike was saying when he was bringing the word, he said, you know, we can't wait till we get in trouble to call on God. We got to call on him all the time, morning, noon, and night. Call on God before the enemy calls on us. Don't you know Jesus spent those 40 days calling on God? And then the enemy came. Then God will hear and will know our voices. It is important for us, for God to know our voices, but it is much more important to know and hear God's voice. God will prepare us. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against the enemy. You already know that when the enemy is after us, that we need a supernatural move by God. We need spiritual power from on high, from the Most High God, to defeat the devil. We need the blessings of God to move on our situation. Our situations. We have to be like Jacob. We have to push, pray until something happens. He was all up all night to get his blessing. How long do you spend in prayer to get your blessing? Do you give up easily or do you push, pray until something happens? Get the blessings that you want for your family. How long? Do you spend 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Jacob was blessed in the place. He called that place Peniel because he saw God's face. He saw God's face to face, and his life was preserved. Next, he was disciplined by affliction. Genesis 37:28 talks about how Jacob wrestled and then passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph. I'm sorry, let me see, am I reading in the right place? Yes. And they sold Joseph to Ishmael for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brother and said, the child is not, and I whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of goat and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and he said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And his sons and all his sons and daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer in Pharaoh, captain of the guard. And you know Jacob was going through. He had many sons, but I don't care how many children you have. If one of your children are missing, you're going to miss them. You can have three, you can have 30 children, no matter how many. If one is missing, you're going to miss that child. Affliction comes in all kinds of ways. Now, Jacob's son Joseph was put in the pit by his brothers. Now, all this happened because of his sins earlier on in life with his brother. This thing followed him. He had planted an evil seed because of his cunning craftiness. So teach your children to plant good seeds. So when they have children, it won't come back on them. We have to teach our children. We have to teach our children to be discerning good and evil and to make good choices. Because we can learn from Jacob. He didn't make some good choices when he was young. So the Ishmaelites, you know, took Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Remember, Christ was betrayed by Judas for 20 pieces of silver. Jacob passed the seed of cunning craftiness and deceit to his own children. Look at what his sons did. They knew Joseph was put, they put him in a pit. They were lying to their father. His sons were cunning and crafty, just like him. They operated in the spirit that their father Jacob had operated in before Jacob knew God. But the sons didn't know about the evil deeds that Jacob had done when he was younger. But it was passed down through the generation. His sons plotted against their own brother, just like their father did against his brother. He deceived his brother, and the sons deceived the father, and they deceived the brother. So they told his father a lie. They said a wild animal probably ate him. They even got blood from a wild animal and put on his coat. Now, you know that's cunning and crafty and deceitful. That lie grieved Jacob so much that he felt he had lost his son that he loved so much. But he didn't realize because of favoritism, he had set Joseph up to be hated by his other brothers. Love all your children. Spend time with each one of your children. Let them know you love them as well as you love their brothers and sisters. Avoid, parents, avoid bringing favoritism among your children, which brings seeds of jealousy, hatred, envy in your children toward each other. If you are accused of favoritism by your children, don't let it be true. Do things in your family that will bring peace, harmony, and love with your children. Gather them together and love on them. Spend time with them individually. If you follow God's ways, you know, bring them up knowing about God, training them to the ways of God so that your children can be blessed and not cursed when you follow the ways of God. Finally, Jacob became a man of faith. It's talked about in Hebrews where he became a great man of faith. Now, you know, sometimes when you look back over your life, when you get a certain age, all you can do is repent before the Father, but consequences do come. But I tell you what, we can teach the next generation. We can teach our children and their friends, oh, baby, don't go that way. You know, God is not pleased when we do the wrong thing or we have envy and jealousy. But this scripture in Hebrews 11:21 says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, both blessed his sons Joseph and he worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, you know, this is a great story. If you read the story of Jacob, you'll find out even where he wrestled all night with an angel. It's a very, very interesting story. So read about Jacob's life. You know, he didn't stay cunning and deceitful. He called upon the name of God, and he made a vow to God. Before Jacob left the earth, he was told the truth about his son Joseph, that he was still alive, and that on his deathbed, he blessed Joseph. He blessed Joseph on his deathbed. And he blessed Joseph's two sons. And Jacob worshipped while leaning on the top of his staff before he left this earth. Now, you know, God is with the righteous who die. Numbers 23:10 says, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth parts of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like this. Psalms 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. No other Bible character represents more fully the conflict between the lower and the higher nature than Jacob. Jacob was known as a supplanter, to supersede by force, to up, which means to supplanter. Supplanter means to supersede by force, to uproot, to take the place of the latter. Jacob was transformed into Israel, the Prince of God. Have you been transformed yet? What is your new name that God has given you? Your new name could go from liar to truth bearer of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It could go from adversary to advocate of the gospel of Christ. It could go from fornicator to foreteller, a prophet, bringing forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. From idolater to worshiper, to the worshiper, to the true and living God. From rebellious to obedient follower of Jesus Christ. From darkness to light. Jesus is calling the unsaved out of darkness to follow him. Jesus is the light. He is the truth and the way. Now it says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Just like Jacob came to the Father, God wants to save us. And we must come, in order for us to be saved, we must come through Jesus, his son, in order to be saved. Now, Romans 10:9, I'm going to read that into your hearing. You know, God's way is perfect, and he didn't leave out anything. He wanted to make sure we knew the way. So he left us like a road map. You know, when you're taking a trip, you need a map sometime to get there. So we're going to be taking a trip. An eternal trip. So where are you going to spend your time? Where are you going to take your trip? Is it going to be up or down? Is it going to be with the Father or with Satan? You know, Satan went to Jesus in his time when Jesus was weak. So, but Jesus chose God over Satan. He said, it is written. So I'm going to read to you, it is written that thou shalt confess with our mouth, that Jesus, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall be saved in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm going to read it again. That if thou confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So read that, Romans 10:9-10. Read the entire chapter of Romans. Is there anyone on the line who has not been saved? Anybody on the line who is not saved? We offer you salvation today. Press 1. If you haven't already pressed 1, anybody on the line needs salvation today? Well, praise God. All of you are children of the Most High God. We are so grateful for each one of you. It's never too late. As long as we're on here, you can still say, I need salvation. I need salvation. You know, sometimes people think that they were saved and they haven't been saved, and they find out later in life, you know, I learned that God saved this way. I didn't know. I thought I was doing the right way. I thought I was going the right way. People in the Bible turned unto God's way. When they found out, they turned God's way from their way to God's way. Some people were serving idol gods, but they turned from that when they found out about the Most High God. Let's see here. Somebody press 1. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought someone pressed one here. But anyway, if you have a request for prayer, we're going to have prayer this time. So
I
can press one.
This is Aunt Mildred.
Okay.
Thank the ones who prayed for me when I was away. I thank God for all his blessings in this wonderful program, the song. It helped just to hear the name of the Lord talked about and know how good he is to us. It just gives us more courage to hold on. I want to thank you for your prayers and bless my daughter and heal her and give her courage. My granddaughter is at the hospital now, and thank you for your prayers. And thank you, Lord, for all you're doing for us, that we can have more courage. We thank you for your love, your guidance, and your protection, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you. Hope all of you have a wonderful day. God bless you all. Coretha.
Yes, ma'am.
Lord, give you strength, courage, faith to keep going on.
Hallelujah.
You're doing a wonderful job, and the Lord will never leave you. He's right there. Have a good day. Love you.
Love you, too. We thank God for you, Aunt Mildred. We thank you for the prayer and the words of wisdom. All right, Aunt Mildred's at the top of our prayer list with her daughter Mavis and her granddaughter Cheryl, who's going through an illness. But I thank God he is a healer and a deliverer. All right, anybody else need prayer? I want to ask also prayer. Sister Brenda's going to come, Evangelist Brenda, she's going to come and lead us in prayer soon. But I just thank God, you know, for what he's been doing in our lives. Last Saturday, as many of you know, my uncle's funeral took place. He was 92 years young, and I thank God for his abundant life, and I'm asking you for prayer for his family, that the Lord would strengthen them during their time of grieving, that he would comfort them. You know, God can comfort like nobody else can comfort. So I just thank you all for your prayers. We had a safe trip there and a safe trip back, and you know, the family was blessed and everything went well. So I thank God for his mighty plans and for, you know, my uncle's son's family. So anybody else need prayer? Press 1 if you haven't already. Okay, you're on the air.
Yes, Sister Martha. First of all, I just want to say thank you, Coretha, for the work that you are doing. I just been sitting here listening to you. You're so well versed, so well versed. You handle the task that God has given you so beautifully, and the things that you say, the wisdom that you have, even though you are still a young woman. And I just thank Him that He's using you in this way. And I just want to thank you and just pray for me that. Just for my day-to-day strength, and that I might grow strong in the Lord, that I might do those things, those spiritual things that I should be doing and need to do. Just pray that the Lord would just continue to bless me with what I need to serve Him in a better way. Amen.
Amen. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Prayer. We are open for prayer. Press 1 if you haven't already.
I already have pressed 1, but I want y'all to know that Purvis Harper, the guy that me and Coretha have talked about in the past, is the lay director for the walk this weekend, and I'm praying that his being a lay director will lead some new people to Christ. They're not already.
Now, what's his name?
Purvis Harper.
Curtis?
Purvis, P-U-R-V-I-S-S.
Okay, Harper.
Yes.
Okay, so we're asking for prayer for him. Okay, we'll pray for him.
and the walk this weekend.
All righty. Okay. Anybody else for prayer?
Yeah. Continue to pray for me. This is Gloria Dean.
All righty.
Carita?
Yes.
Thank God for you today in the Word. And I just want to read this scripture coming from Amos, one of the minor prophets, Amos, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse. He said, "Behold, the days come, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not of thirst, nor of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." One day there's going to be a famine in the land. We won't be able to hear the word of God. That's why we have to get into our hearts. And I thank God for you giving the word. And we need to, as many can be on the line, to just continue to hear the word wherever it is, because you are giving the word. And we need the word. One day there's going to be a famine. That's why we have to get in our hearts. Thank God for you continuously bringing forth the word every Saturday. And all the other days that you have, you're always giving the word. But I thank God, and I just want prayer that tomorrow I was invited, you know, to teach in one of the Sunday school classes at a church. Just pray for me that God, the Holy Spirit, will just come through as he, you know, wants to come through. That he will come through, not me, but the Holy Ghost will come through and teach. Praise God.
Amen. Well, I thank God, you know, for you, for using me, because, you know, he could choose somebody else, but I yield to him. I humble myself and yield to him, because he's the one who created me, and I'm just thankful that he chose me to do a work for him. I'm honored that he chose me. So any more prayer requests this morning? Any more prayer requests? Yeah. We have time for prayer requests. Press 1 if you need prayer, okay? Hold on, please. Okay. Anybody else? Prayer request. Uh-oh, hold on. I was trying to put Sister Brenda on. Hold on, but it moved. Okay, someone pressed 1. It's 904-434. You have a prayer request? Hello? Okay. 904-434-9805. Prayer request. Okay, maybe not. Okay, well, let's see who's there, who else. Anybody else? You have time. If you want prayer, just press 1. All right, well, hold on 1 second. Someone else press 1 here. Okay. All right, if you don't press 1, I want to know that you need prayer, so you got to press 1 so that I'll know. Okay. All right. Well, Sister Brenda's going to lead us in prayer. Aunt Mildred is asking for prayer for her daughter Mavis, her granddaughter Cheryl, and I'm asking for prayer for Uncle Son's family as they bereave his death, and I'm asking for prayer for strength, increasing God, increasing my faith, drawing me closer to him, and that I will be, more discerning. And Sister Martha is asking for strength, and that the Lord will continually lead her by his mighty power. And also, Karen asked for a prayer for Mr. Harper, that God will use him to bring his people into the fold. Sister Gloria Dean is asking that the Holy Spirit will speak through her as she brings forth the word and bring it to her recollection quickly. Any more prayer requests? All right. Okay. Sister Brenda, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. I'm blessed to the Lord. I just want to say good morning to all of our listeners on today. I call it a joint of privilege to petition the Lord on behalf of all of our listeners, both here today and those that will tune us in later. I would like to ask that everyone go and get some water in a glass, please.
Well, my Aunt Mildred is right there in her chair, and if you don't mind excusing her.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Please excuse her.
Praise God, of course. Of course. Praise God. I really enjoyed you going, having gone forth in the Word today. You and Pastor Houston, it was a blessing. And I was encouraged, greatly encouraged by the
amen,
Word.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Father.
Amen. Praise God. Are we all back now?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yep.
You know, okay. You know, most of us have listened to our television set, and we've been hearing about President Obama's battle with the Congress and their inability to come to some type of compromise or agreement here as far as finances are concerned. So we know that that has caused, you know, some anxiety and some, you know, some frustration on the part of everyone. We are, you know, everyone here in America, because truly, you know, the world goes round on money. We need l'argent. Everyone needs money. So I would like for all of us to put the phone down, and we're going to stand on 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to cast all these cares over on the Lord, because we know that he cares for us. And Mildred, I know you're sitting in a chair, but the rest of us will stand, and we will begin to shake. Shake our arms, shake our legs, shake our body trunk. But for you, Aunt Mildred, you know, just as you comb your hair, just as you brush your hair, begin to wipe down your face. Begin to wipe down the top of your hair, your head, you see. Go on down your throat, your chest, your tummy, all the way down to your legs, both arms. And see, look, you have weights and cares of life. And as you shake them off, as you brush them off, then you find that they're gone. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up these cares to you. We shake them off now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give them all to you, because you say, cast your cares over on me because I care for you. So we rebuke frustration and stress, anxiety and worry, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, minister. Be us with peace and joy, grace and favor. Father God, just go ahead of Brother Purvis. Just go ahead of Glory Dean on tomorrow, as well as Caritha, and all of us on the phone that have something to do in the way of speaking, being on a program, teaching a class, leading others to Christ. Father God, we just ask for grace and favor on today and this weekend and every day of our lives in strange places. And Lord, as we go and evangelize, we go and exalt the name of Jesus. Give us souls for our heart. Let souls be brought into the kingdom, Father God. You say it in Proverbs that he that win his souls is wise, and he buyeth the redeemer to time. Father God, we ask that people that have never been saved be won to Christ. But then on the other hand, we ask that those that are backslidden be restored unto the fold with cause of love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now as we come, for those of us that have physical conditions, we want to get the cup in hand with some water in Jesus' name. And in Genesis 1, we read that the Holy Ghost brooded, or he moved over the face of the waters. That was during, you know, the first day of creation. And we know that there's no power in the water, but the water is just a source of contact. And as I pray, we'll believe in the Lord that he's going to bless the water to our body, so that when we ingest it, when we drink it, that it will replenish, it will restore, it will bring forth healing to our bodies, you see. Hallelujah. Father God, just move on the face of the waters. Bless it to our bodies, even as you did
during the time of creation, Father God. We bind the strong man of infirmity and we cast it out by the power of the Holy Ghost, now in Jesus' name. Father, now you can bring the water, drink 8 swallows of water. We decree and we declare that the body parts, that our skeletal system would get in line with the word of God, be commanded. We command the skeletal system, hallelujah, to get in line with the word of God. Any problems with our bone, we command, we command the bones, the posture, the lumbar, to, if there's any tilt in the lumbar area, the tailbone, that it be repositioned. Hallelujah. We command any arthritis, we rebuke any arthritis, any bursitis from our skeletal system, any breakage or any fractures. In the name of Jesus, we speak health and wholeness, healing to our skeletal system. Father God, we speak to our circulatory system, our heart. Father God, we stand up on Ezekiel 38. You say you take out our stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. So, Father God, we just decree and we declare that you give us a recreative miracle. You would give us a whole new network of bone marrow as well as blood and blood vessels. Father God, every cell, we speak to every cell within our heart. Command it to get in line with the word of God. We decree and we declare that it by your stripes, it is healed. We speak to the alimentary tract, respiratory. Now, in the name of Jesus, command it to get in line with the word of God. We rebuke any problems with shortness of breath, or asthma, or any lung condition. We bind it, we cast it out by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let everyone begin to take in these 5 deep breaths so that you can feel it even down to your tummy area. Just begin to inhale and exhale at least 5 times. Father God, in the name of Jesus, just let your ruach, your air flow through our respiratory system now. In the name of Jesus, we speak life, wholeness, soundness, nothing lacking, nothing broken, nothing missing. Hallelujah. We speak to the lungs, to the alveolar line. We speak to those cells. We speak life and wholeness. In the name of Jesus, we speak to the digestive, reproductive, excretory. We bind up any malfunction. We command it to rotate back into the original position. We command it to be perfectly alive. We speak wholeness and health. In the name of Jesus, we speak to the muscles, tendons, and ligaments. Command them to lie down flat in Jesus' name. We bind up any pains or cramps now in the name of Jesus. We speak even to our scalp and our hair for those of us that are having loss of hair. Could you put your hand on your scalp, please? We rebuke any problems with our scalp, any soreness, any problems with our scalp, psoriasis, anything to do with that. We command the scalp to get in line with the word of God. We pronounce the healing.
Yes.
And Father God, for those of us that have damaged hair, a bald spots, a falling hair, any problem with thinning hair, we speak to the scalp. We speak to the hair. We say, be strong. In the name of Jesus. Father God, add on and multiply the numbers of hairs that we have upon our head. You say that you count, you know the numbers of hairs that we have upon our heads. Father God, let no one, let no listener, hallelujah, tune into our program, go with their needs unmet. We lose financial blessings. We break and loose anyone from oppression and depression, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We lose joy and peace. And for those of us who have lost family members, but we bind up grief because we sorrow not as the world does, but it's not wrong to cry. Hallelujah. But Father God, bring an end to grief now in the name of Jesus. Bring an end to sorrow. Hallelujah. And let them know, let give them peace and contentment, Father God, knowing that their loved ones are in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Father. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
try it one more time, okay? I got to go. Try it one more time. Well, we thank God for the prayer prayed by Sister Brenda. We thank God for using you. And I apologize to people that if I didn't see your number, but we do have a minute or two. If you anybody want to give a brief testimony or say something, you should be on now. There were some people who called, a couple of people called and said that, you know, they couldn't get on. So I think now you may be able to be on. Pastor Josie, are you on?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Praise God. Praise God. I also have a prayer request. My nephew, his name is Troy, 42 years old, had blood clot in his leg. This is the second time he's had this kind of surgery, which is very serious. His sugar count was 600. And we also have another lady called me that her son is in jail. They cut him in the face and they knifed him in the back. And he just wanted to take his life. And we just have so much going on, but we've got to stay focused. And the other thing that I find that we may not be out there in the street witnessing or in the pulpit talking to a lot of people, but the way God is using me, people come into the food bank, and it's like a one-on-one. We ask them if they would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I thank God for the teacher's anointing upon you, minister. This morning I so enjoyed the word of God that went forth in power, and we receive that, and we seal that with the blood of Jesus, and that God will bring to our remembrance things that we need when it's time to use it. But I thank God for you so much. I am en route now to Atlanta, Georgia, to do a funeral, and they found this, it's a good friend of the family that was, they found him dead on the floor. He was in the wheelchair, but many years ago, I had the opportunity, after I came from Tulsa, I had came from Dave Robinson's conference, and while I was there, I went to Walmart and got 6 yards of material and had the ministers to lay hands, and we anointed this material. And then I went to Atlanta to the hospital. The guy name was Henry. You could see the bone to his foot had turned black, and they were going to cut his leg off. And God is an awesome God, and I laid that cloth on his leg, and the Lord healed him. They didn't cut. I tell you, that bone was black, if you could see that. And that day he accepted Jesus in his life, and I
amen.
This is the man that has died, and so the family has requested me to come, and anyway. We just have testimonies, and I thank God for the teacher's anointing, for that word did go forth this morning. And I just pray favor, the favor of the Lord. And in Jesus' name, we break every curse of generational of curse and bloodline and every inherited curse. And we just right now, we sever every ungodly soul tie, any familiar spirit, and anything that tries to attach itself with us, even to the memories. And Lord, Father God, would you just heal our emotions of things that have been pressing in the past, so that we can go forward in your wisdom and your divine help. And Father God, even when we look around the situation and we feel that we're getting old and feeble with all that, and people say this, and we believe what the word of God says, that by Jesus Christ we are healed. We will stand on the word, and until we can't do anything else, we stand on the word and believe what it says. And we stand on the word, and we speak to our body. And I praise God for Elder Brenda for that powerful word that went forward, that prayer, and decreeing and declaring some things today. And I thank you, Minister Carita, for God is so using you. I know sometimes it's a sacrifice for your time and your study, because you have studied to show approval, and I thank God for the approval, because it blesses all of us to receive that word of God. Many people can't get out, but we are listening, even if we could not tap into talking on the radio, but we are listening, and we receive that word, and I thank God for you.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Phillips. We appreciate your words of encouragement, and we'll be lifting those two, three prayer requests up. There's also Minister Janie McCauley on. Are you on now? Janie McCauley, are you on now? Okay. I'm sorry if I overlooked anyone. It was not my intention. I was trying to find everybody, you know, who had pressed one. But she did call me and say she had pressed one. So, sorry, I missed her. Anybody else have a well, they're going to be cutting us off in about 2 minutes. Anybody else have anything they want to say?
Yes, this is Mariva.
Okay.
Yes, I want to lift up my grandson. He's in jail. And also my son, he's backslidden. Alcoholism.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sister Brenda, you want to pray for those real quick? And then we're going to be,
yes.
I don't want them to click us off because they already, you know,
yes.
gave me the time.
Yes. Yes. I lift up Pastor Phillip's nephew now, and we stand up on Ezekiel 16:6, and we passed. When we passed and saw them standing polluted within their own blood, we said, "Live, yeah." That we speak to that bleeding now in the name of Jesus. We command it to stop.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we command that blood to coagulate. We command all wounds to be healed supernaturally, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let him rise up. We declare he will rise up in Jesus' name. And, Father God, we speak to this young man now. What did you say was wrong with your son, hon?
Alcoholism. Alcohol. He is
Father God, we bind the taste. We bind the spirit of addiction from him now. In the name of Jesus, we bind it now. And, Father God, we lose sobriety. In the name of Jesus. Father God, wherever he gets ready to take a drink, let the very smell of it turn him off, let alone the taste, in the name of Jesus. And Father God set him totally free, deliver him. And Father God, if he's not saved, then give him opportunity after opportunity to be saved. And if he's backslidden, Father God, then send believers by him to encourage him and to lead him back to the fold. Restore him. Restore the years that the canker worm and a palmer worm have eaten from these two men. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I thank God for each of you. I love you. I look forward to hearing your precious voices. Next Saturday, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Study the Word every day to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. It's closing time on Bible Storyland. Tell your family, your friends about Bible Storyland and give them the number. 1-619-789-4313. Don't forget, let your light shine. Spread the word, the good news of Jesus, the gospel. See you all next week. Have a blessed week. Thank God.
May God bless
you, love you,
Rita. Give you strength to carry on.
A couple more people on. talk to you later, Aunt Mildred.
All right, darling. I hope the Lord continue to bless you.
All right, you too. Love
bless
you. Talk, I'll call you later.
This program.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Karen. That was beautiful. I love that song. All right, we're going to hang up now, Mildred.
All right. Good day to everybody. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Love you. Bye-bye. You can hang up. All right, Karen. I'm going to end the show now. Thank you, and God bless you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.